Hi, and welcome to Al's Senior Moments. This is William Simmons, your host, and this is a podcast focusing on senior adult and retirement age issues. In today's podcast, I have Carolyn Rhodes, who is the director of the Rocket City Rocksteady Boxing. And the Rocksteady Boxing focus is a program that supports individuals who are diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And Parkinson's is a degenerative movement disorder, and it affects more than just movement, speech, and other aspects for an individual. And I wanted to invite Carolyn on the show to talk about Rocksteady Boxing and how it affects people. And Carolyn, thank you for being with us today. We appreciate that. And Carolyn is the founder of the local affiliate of Rocksteady Boxing, which is based out of Indianapolis, and she was saying that it's now an international program for individuals who are diagnosed with Parkinson's. Carolyn, tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would, and how you got involved in this program.
All right. First of all, thank you, William. I appreciate being here. I have worked at the Huntsville-Madison County Senior Center for 14 and a half years. So I have been working with seniors since before I was a senior, okay? So I've learned a lot. Always looking to see if people are going to trip on something and picking it up so they don't. Anyway, so I've been there 14 and a half years, and 6 years ago, my husband was diagnosed with Parkinson's at 64 years old with a very small thumb tremor that I could hardly see. So two people told us within days that he needed to look into Rocksteady Boxing, and he thought, do I really want somebody to hit me in the head? Isn't that what happened to Muhammad Ali? So we looked into it. We brought it here through the Huntsville-Madison County Senior Center as one of my 23 fitness programs. So it has steadily grown like wildfire. Unfortunately, there's that many people that need it. So we now, moving forward 5.5 years, we have 13 coaches. Most of them are volunteers. We have a head coach, Dallas, who works out a lot of the programming for us. The doctors from local to Vanderbilt to UAB have sent us over 500 people with Parkinson's, and we've actually assessed over 400. The rest said they weren't interested. So that will bring me to another subject in a few minutes. So we rent a gym over on Lehman Ferry, and we have 11 classes a week. We now have offered urban poling for Parkinson's, which is a trekking. You use trekking poles to walk with for stability, and it works more muscles. We're offering a stretching yoga class. We are offering a great speech program for voice, cognition, and safe swallowing. It's very important for people with Parkinson's to exercise their throat muscles so that they don't choke and so that they can communicate with their loved ones. We've had a few boxers who can no longer communicate with their spouse, and it's very painful for the family. And then, of course, they have a hard time eating, too, so we want to keep those muscles in the throat strong. We are offering a grief sharing group, because we found that the people bring their spouse to boxing and assist them. Well, when the spouse dies, the person is left without that support that they've gotten from each other. So we're just starting that actually tomorrow. I'm excited to offer that. A neat thing is the city is renovating the gym, the armory on South Parkway for the John Hunt Park offices. And they're giving us a great discounted rate for the rest of the building. So we will move in under that, under the offices there. Everything will move under that gym. So we're very excited about that. It's still a year away, maybe 14 months away. So talking about Parkinson's disease, it is a neurodegenerative disease, and it really steals the hearts and minds of its patients, of its victims, I would say. And it, you know, usually starts out with some kind of slow, odd movement. I've learned through the years that people with Parkinson's typically don't swing one arm when they walk. And then they become rigid, and so the rigidity pulls them forward. And their brain thinks that that's normal. Their voice gets lower, their head gets lower, the body pulls in, their arms pull in. And they begin, their brain begins to think that that's a normal posture, a normal voice, and so forth. Medication can help. Sometimes when the doctors will increase their medicine, some of those things will be relieved, and maybe they can take a bigger step again. Their voice can be louder again. Mm-hmm. They'll kind of become more alive and so forth. So my husband always describes it as something that steals the hearts and the minds and the body, but they're still in there. When he was first diagnosed, we went to a support group, and there was a man that was very bent over, and my husband squatted down and talked to him. And when they finished, the man grabbed him and said, "Thank you." And my husband said, "Well, I for what?" And he said, "Thank you for taking the time to come down here to talk to me." And he pointed to his brain, like to his temple, and then he pointed to his heart, and he said, "Because I'm still in there, and I'm still in here." And so when they get to that point where they're bent over, people don't know what to do. So they end up really ignoring them. And it's just easier not to talk. And especially if they can't speak well and you can't understand them, it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, so there is a slow decline. You had talked about, I guess, from the initial diagnosis, usually there's a certain time period of, of decline.
Yes, and it's a slow, usually it's a slow 20-year decline. And a lot of the experts will say Parkinson's doesn't happen fast. So if it's something that's changed quickly, it typically may not be Parkinson's. Uh-huh. It may be an infection or something like that.
Right.
But it is typically a slow decline.
Okay.
And then if it is a quick decline, it can often be a more progressive disease. And we have seen some of that.
Now take us through when someone, does an individual need a referral from a neurologist to get into your program?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take us from the referral to when they call you, kind of what happens, if you don't mind,
sure.
How that works.
Sure. So typically the doctor will refer, and our referral form says that they have Parkinson's and it's safe for them to come. And then we do assessments once a month, and the Huntsville Hospital Parkinson's Care Clinic physical therapists do those assessments for us. As coaches, we are trained to do the assessments, so we don't have to have them. But they're so much better at it than we are because they're used to this kind of thing. So once a month, we have about 12 people that will be assessed. And then, and some of those are the boxers that are reassessed every 6 months. So we have new boxers and existing. So they come in to the senior center, we assess them, and then they go to what we call our fight skills camp. And that's a couple hours a week, and we'll teach them the skills of boxing safely. So they don't hit each other. It's called a non-contact boxing program, and where they hit the bags. But it's really a 90-minute comprehensive exercise program. So we work with agility, balance, strength, and so forth. So it's really everything that a boxer would do. ESPN did a study on 60 sports and found that boxers were in the best shape because of all the different things that they do. So we have been told that the forced and tense explosive action of the boxing, it helps evidently release some dopamine. Nobody really knows why it helps, but they do know that it does help. Research was done on, this is years ago, 88 people with Parkinson's. 44 of them committed to work out really hard at a gym, and 44 did boxing at Rocksteady Boxing in Indianapolis. At the end of 2 years, the people that were boxing were better, and it's a neurodegenerative disease, so you shouldn't be better. The 44 that worked out were worse.
Oh, my.
And so they show that on a scale. And there's more research being done now. So that's part of the issue is forcing them to work out harder than they would at home. So we really push them. We push them hard. And then we tell them that they've earned their nap, that they're going to
take them. Let's clarify. When you go to Rock City Boxing, you're not boxing other people.
Right.
You're not learning to fight.
Right.
You are using boxing skills to improve your physical condition.
Right.
And that's what they teach
you. Yes. And we start out with a voice program to start with. They sit in a circle and they do what we call getting to know you. And they say their name and there's a question of the day. And it's great to get to know them, but there's a reason behind it. And that is to project their voice to a certain decibel level for the practice. And, you know, a lot of you, when they come, you can't even hear them because their voices decline so much.
Okay.
So we're always saying, we can't hear you, you know, speak up. And so we want them to walk and speak with intent. So they're creating new neural pathways that have been lost through Parkinson's. So they really can create those new pathways, but they have to work at it.
Now let's talk about, you know, as people age and, you know, being diagnosed with different conditions, I mean, there is an emotional response to that,
yes.
You know, a grief response. And you had mentioned that you have a grief support that's starting tomorrow,
yes.
For, you know, members. But kind of talk about, you know, when people are first diagnosed, what do you typically see the emotional responses to that diagnosis?
It's interesting because the older people tend to just take it in stride. Well, I've kind of known something was wrong. The younger people can be pretty depressed about it, and you can understand that. But we will have people come into my office and cry when they leave because they didn't know this support was available. Mm-hmm. And so you can really see that they need, what they want is support. And we're trying to be a one-stop shop where we can help them in most ways. And so it'll kind of bring them out of that funk that they've been in. It's interesting because we do 39 questions for the new boxers and the existing boxers. And one of them is, do you feel ignored? Do you feel support? And so forth. The older ones never say they feel ignored. They're never embarrassed. But the younger ones, some of the questions are you embarrassed to be seen in public? Do you hide your Parkinson's diagnosis? So when they're in their 40s and 50s, and a lot of them aren't what they call out yet because of their jobs. They're concerned that they may lose their job mm-hmm. if someone finds out they have Parkinson's. So we try to help them through with that. And so we take pictures, and sometimes the media comes in and they have to sign a media release. And I've had a handful that have said no. One was a home builder. He's like, if people find out I have Parkinson's, they'll never hire me again.
Right. So there's fear there.
There's
of,
fear.
You know, not
that.
Just what they have to deal with, but how other people will see them and they could be treated.
And so it's kind of like once they come, I don't see a lot of really bad depression with it. You'll see some that are kind of in a funk, but they'll say it's a lonely disease. And so once they don't feel lonely, they're kind of happy again.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in this group where people understand them. And so, you know, one man said his wife said he took too much medication, but he couldn't handle it if he didn't take that much. So there's some little things like that that happen. So for the most part, once they're in there with us, they're kind of, their mood picks up. They have something to live for, I think. And I think some of the older people were sitting all day prior to this. And now they have a reason to get up, and then they have a reason to take a nap when they're finished.
Well, I think for most of us, that sense of isolation, you know, we just feel like there are other people that are not, or understand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm trying to say is that just feeling a sense of connectedness, because isolation can have such a negative impact on our mental well-being and physical. You know, there's a connection between both.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that old phrase, depression hurts.
Right.
You know, a lot of people who have depression, you know, feel it in a physical way.
Right.
But I think that sense of connection with other people, drawing people out of that isolation, is a great way to help someone.
One example that I have is right along where you're talking about. A gentleman moved here over a year ago, and he said, I work out. He was with Rocksteady in another state. And he said, but I work out really hard. I know what to do. I'm fine. And a year later, he called me and said, I need the camaraderie. I'm going to join for the camaraderie. Mm-hmm. And he said, not necessarily for the workout. So that was interesting.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we've just started a breakfast once a month, too. And I think it's just being with people that understand you, especially when they have the dyskinesia, the big movements. People kind of just look at them and maybe not try to start a conversation. Well, we understand each other now. So, you know, they'll come and feel supported.
Mm-hmm.
And we call it a no agenda once a month breakfast. So we're just really hanging out and being together. And they get support from that. We all do.
So it sounds like you're really building it, trying to build a community.
We are.
You know,
we are,
and we have support for each other. And not just the physical aspect, but also friendships.
We have. And I would be remiss if I didn't remember to mention, We have over 40 volunteers in this program, and they come and they help run it because I only go 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. And so the other 3 days, the volunteers are doing everything. We have to break down in this gym so that other people can share it. These volunteers set up and break down in like 10 minutes. They are like moving. And I mean, they're just dedicated, and they ask about the people. Where's so-and-so? I haven't seen him. They are amazing. We just couldn't do it without them.
Yeah. So you had mentioned earlier that you went to Indianapolis for training to, I guess, get this program off the ground. Your coaches now, is there certification for those individuals or a training program?
Well, yes, it's interesting. So several of us did go to Indianapolis for a 3-day training. Then because of COVID, they put the training online. And so now Rocksteady is in the midst of trying to decide what they're going to do with people needing more certification. A lot of us feel like we want to learn more about Parkinson's. So Rocksteady International is right in the midst. There's a committee of 7 of us that are determining what needs to be done to go further, to make people safe and make sure things go well, to teach us all more about Parkinson's. A lot of the affiliates don't have the support that I have here with the medical community. So if I want to know something, I just reach out to different nurses and so forth. And so you always want to be learning more about it, see what's out there. So that's what's going on, is everybody does have a certificate. And like I said, we have 13. We've had a few more that have moved on. One moved to Florida and had to start his own down there, and he misses us and we miss him. But we've, it's just amazing.
Yeah, it takes a lot of effort to have a program with, you know, so many people involved.
And we can't get over how fast we've grown and how much we've done in almost 6 years.
Now, I was watching a few videos before you came in. And one of the videos, they were talking about showing people how to get up, how to fall, not just boxing skills, but skills that, you know, are safety oriented to help people. You know, falling for senior adults is a, you know, dangerous in some way already. But when you have a situation such as Parkinson's, that, you know, falling correctly or, you know, as safely as possible. Is that something that y'all focus on?
We do. And we're excited when we get in our new building, we'll have a padded boxing ring where we'll practice that, where they won't be hurt. So we do try to get them on the floor and teach them how to get up. It's pretty difficult in some of the morning classes where we have 25 boxers who are not in great shape. So getting them all on the floor, getting them all back up is difficult. So we'll usually put it in a station. So we do different exercise stations where they'll box at one station, they'll do strength at one station. Then they get on the floor on padded, you know, mats. And then we have things to help them get up and to teach them how to get up. One of our coaches said on the floor every day because they're going to be on the floor often. And there's different tactics that we teach them about crawling over to a chair if they can. And of course, if you've, as a senior, if they've had a knee replacement, they're not supposed to kneel on those knees. At least the older knees are not supposed to be. The newer ones are better. But so there's all these different things you have to consider when doing that. And like one man who looks like he's in really great shape, he couldn't get up because he needs a hip replacement. So he got down there and had a very difficult time getting up. And everybody was shocked because he looks like he's in great shape. So there's just those different nuances that go on.
And it really does. If you're talking about affecting the speech and you had now the classes, you have classes in people that are at different levels, correct?
Yes,
so not the classes you have are not just everyone's put in. They are broken down by different levels.
Yes. And we started with one. We started actually with, I can't remember, it was either 3 or 6 boxers in June of 16. By August, we had 30. By November, we had to move into this rented gym where we had 51. And now we've got close to 200 people that we serve. And they kind of come and go. You know, 2 people have been out for a long time because of COVID. They're back in. One's had surgery. He's back in, that kind of thing. So they kind of come and go with issues. But so we do, we have them broken down. Most affiliates start with them all in one group. And then when we got so many, we broke them down. So we have about 25 in the mornings, 3 mornings a week. And then we've got about 25, 3 noon classes a week. And then the evening classes right now are still really low because the people that work with Parkinson's are still working from home and were not close by. Mm-hmm. So when they worked, most of them on the Arsenal, it was close for them to swing by after work. Well, now they're saying, well, I live way out in Gurley and I'm working from home. It's too much to drive in and so mm-hmm. forth. Driving at night is not good for them. They're, you know, their response time is slower. Uh-huh. So
now how is, you know, obviously COVID has affected a lot of things. I would expect that's affected your attendance some.
Yes.
And is that getting better as we're kind of yes. getting vaccinations and things of that
yes.
nature?
Yes. And we actually, for I couldn't tell you how many months, we did virtual classes. And some of the people didn't want to come back, but Rocksteady is not a virtual thing. You need to be uh-huh. there. So we stopped those virtual classes. We've actually been back in session a year. It's hard to believe, but we started back in January of last year. And we've kept going. And some of them said, I was in such bad shape, I'd rather risk COVID to get out of the chair and come. So that's mm-hmm. been amazing. So we boxed with them masked. And then we said that mask on your way in and mask on your way out or when you're in close proximity. But you can take your mask off to box because especially mm-hmm. the elderly, they couldn't
right. box makes with a little the mask. More challenging breathing mm-hmm. in and out because mm-hmm. you certainly develop some lung
yes capacity there yeah some issues
through boxing.
And we still have our voice classes, we still have some on or that are virtual, and we're really proud we've been able to, not me but the speech pathologists have been able to train them as to how to use the computer with WebEx or Zoom. They've changed it to see whichever one was better. It's great. My husband loves it. He's still doing his virtually, but it's just because the class he is in is still virtual. So we still have classes that are in person, too, and those have built back up. So pretty much, I would say we're pretty much back to prior to COVID. There's been a few people that won't come back, but it's usually because a family member has asthma or is not well, and so that they don't want to come in for fear of exposing them. But we have not, knock on wood, it's been a blessing, we have not had COVID go through.
Yeah.
The gym.
Yeah.
Because that was pretty fearful.
All right. Yeah, I would expect so.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming down to the close of our time. Is there something of significance important that you really just feel like a message that you want to share, need to share to people who maybe either have been diagnosed with Parkinson's or have a family member diagnosed? What would you say to them, or what would you like to say?
I'm glad you asked that, William, because one of our goals from the beginning was that when a doctor diagnoses someone with Parkinson's, we hope that the doctor will say, but there's a gym down the street where you can fight back and get hope. Mm-hmm. And we've really, I don't want to say we've ever fully accomplished a goal, but now the doctors are saying that. The doctors mm-hmm. are saying, but wait, there's hope for you. And I hand out packets to the doctors and I say, I have written on the packet, if you've been diagnosed with Parkinson's, there's hope inside this packet. Mm. So that's what the message is, that there is hope for people with Parkinson's. And there's so much support now. I'm an ambassador for 3 or 4 different things that support people with Parkinson's. The Davis Finney Foundation is awesome. The Parkinson's Foundation, the Alabama Parkinson's Foundation, and then the PD Avengers. I mean, there's just all kinds of groups out there. Mm-hmm. And so I belong to all of them so that I can bring that information to disseminate to our clients mm-hmm. and to give them hope. That's really what we're all about.
Yeah. Well, we certainly appreciate it. And we know that you do good work. And thank you for being with us today.
Yeah.
Now, is there a particular to get in touch with you? Mm-hmm. Can you share information about either the web address or phone number?
I can. So the phone number is 256-513-8292. And I like to give my email out too. So that is rocketcity@rsbaffiliate.com. And the web address is rocketcity.affiliate. Excuse me, I think it's rocketcity.rsbaffiliate.com. I have to look at my card.
Okay, well, you can do it. You can go online and do a Google search, Rocksteady Boxing.
Yeah, so it's rocketcity.rsbaffiliate.com. I'm sorry.
That's okay, yeah. But we know if you do a search on Rocksteady Boxing, You may get the national, but you can do a search for the local.
And you put in your zip code, and it'll show you the affiliate closest to you.
Yes. So I thank you again, Carolyn. This has been Carolyn Rhodes with the director of the Rocket City Rock Steady Boxing Program here in Huntsville. And they're helping a lot of people with Parkinson's, building a community and giving people hope. And we really appreciate that. And our society needs that. So thank you for listening. This has been Al Senior Moments, and we are sponsored by Medicare Strategies when you need local Medicare insurance expertise. Thank you and have a great day.